sisters.
Seems you are too far away. Can you move forward? Move to the front a little bit so it's easier to. Thank the Lord, our brother already read the verse that it's the Lord put in my heart. That it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the famous verse we all know. Now that remains, it's faith, love, and hope. But the greatest of these three, it's love. And another verse I want to also read, it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 and 24. So if we can turn there and read these two verses, and we have some prayers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 and 24. I will read it. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Thank the Lord. This time I have another cross-country drive. The Lord recently moved us to Los Angeles. We were in Richmond, Virginia for about four and a half years there. And in last October, the Lord just moved our whole family to Los Angeles. So this is the third time I come to Kansas City to visit brothers and sisters here. Really, whenever I made a long drive, it will be wonderful to visit brother and sister on the way, just to feel at home. And when I come over and the brothers and sisters thought I can share something with the brothers and sisters here. So as I just wait before the Lord just gave me a simple, very simple burden. Just about what is the spiritual reality? What are the lessons I have learned through these many years? Believe in the Lord. And I have believed the Lord for 23 years. My daughter, the first daughter, her name is Spring. Actually, the Spring means the spring of living water. She was born in 1992. That's the time we were saved. We were saved just before she was born. So we remember she, as the Lord's grace, is like the living water falling from heaven. So her name is Spring. So for these 23 years, we have walked with God. And in the very beginning, and I really had a heart to serve the Lord. I want to share the gospel. Go back to China to share gospel because the Lord is so wonderful. Because I have encountered some reality, spiritual reality is something we have never encountered. We know that in China, we do not have opportunities to know Bible, to know Christians. To really understand this concept of Lord Jesus Christ, because it's all blocked out. Basically, we were blocked out from truth. We were blocked out from spiritual reality. But it is Lord's great grace. He brought us into this encounter with real Christians, with the truth and the grace we never know. So what is the spiritual reality? I think spiritual reality starts with we realize we have a need. We have a need. We have something that we do not satisfy. Our heart does not satisfy. So what makes us do not satisfy with our life? It's because it is the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Himself is seeking us. He's giving something. He's giving a seed in our heart to seek Him. That seed is that, what's the meaning of life? Where we come from? And where we are going? And that is a very important, most important question, I think, in our life. In an unbeliever's life, and in a Christian life. Without knowing what's the meaning of life. This question, I did not thought about this question before. I have a brother, younger brother. He's a little bit bookish. And he looks very much like me. And he walks like me. He talks like me. And also his handwriting very similar to me. But there is a difference. He's much more bookish. So when he was thinking things, he would think very deeply. So there was one time I went to college. He was in college. I was working in Wuhan in China. He saw me. He said, "Brother number two." Brother number two. He's brother number five. He's brother number two. "I have a very important question to ask you." I know he is kind of bookish, so I kind of just be alert and say, what's going on? Go ahead and ask. Then he said, "Tell me, what's the meaning of life?" Oh, I was so mad. I said, "You're so foolish. Why you think about this foolish question? Why you think about the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life? You live. You just exist. That's the meaning of life." Because I never thought about this. This is just a shock to me. I thought it's like life or death thing. You're pretty much going crazy or something. Then you think about that. But when I came to the Lord, when I came already in U.S. and for some time, I have no lacking. No lacking financially, no other lacking. My wife is also with me. But there is a thought. It's coming from the deep of my heart. That is, what's the meaning of life? Why you're here? I cannot answer. This is no longer my brother asking me. I was asking myself. I cannot just escape this question. So, brothers and sisters, I was thinking about this question for a whole week. I cannot find answer. And everybody seeks money. And money is not answer of the meaning of life. The meaning of life, the life does not equal to money. In a matter of fact, the Bible says money is the root of many evils. I think the Lord is true. Not only money and fame, reputation, position, those are all empty. Why? You might not get that. First of all, you can never get that position, that fame, or that reputation, because you cannot claim yourself somebody. Somebody else has to claim you. You might never get there. And even you get some high position or high rank or whatever recognizable, but it will go. you 500 years later, you're already in the grave. So I cannot find the meaning of life. That's how the Lord gradually led me to the reality. So then I heard gospel. Even before I heard gospel, the Lord, this is how He works. Because it does not begin we seek Him because He sought us. It's not because we love Him, because He first loved us. So it is the Lord put that hunger in me to seek Him, to seek the reality. Then there are the brothers, sisters, Christians approach me and share gospel with me. I was very beginning argue with them. Vehemently, kind of. Because we were trained without God. We never thought there was a God. But God already loved me. How He loved me? Because when I came here, I think there's many ABCs here, but we have no money or anything at all. I do not have government support or from a university, nothing. But the Lord touched a Christian brother, sponsor me. The first year's tuition and expenses, living expenses, and also plane ticket, He paid for me. I never met Him before. I knew Him through our mutual friend, and He paid more than $10,000 in 1989. That's how I came to U.S. The Lord planted a divine seed in me. So after that, the Lord sent many brothers and sisters to share gospel with me. When I look back, I can see the Lord's grace already working in me. And also He brought my wife, the second year He brought my wife with me. So when my wife came here and she started to work, and everything, I'm fine. I can survive. When I put everything together, I see that it is God's grace that He approached me and He personally, very personal, and helped me. This is practical. Practical help. So that's why when I believe in the Lord, I have a great desire to serve the Lord. Everything in this world just seems dim, just feel very empty. There is a God, there is an eternal life, and there is a free grace. So I really encountered the spiritual reality. So I have a heart to serve the Lord and to share gospel. And He is so real. But the Lord gradually led me to the spiritual reality. The first spiritual reality I encountered is that there is a creator God. There is a creator. There is a creation. The whole world is created by God. He created us actually according to His image and likeness. He created us with spirit, soul, and body. That's a very special revelation. We as Christians, first revelation, the reality, spiritual reality, we need to really know that this creator God. But that does not end there. Because creation is the God's first job. But we know that we were no longer in the right situation. Not right created situation. God created us according to His image and likeness, but we fell. So the second reality we realize is that we are sinners. We are frail sinners. We have limitations. We become empty. So that's how the Lord realized we have a need. We need to face the reality and Only the Lord can fix the problem. Suppose that we created a car, but the car has problems. The car is broken down, and the car itself cannot fix its problem. Only the Creator, only we can fix the problem. The same situation happened to us. If we have problems, we are facing death, and we are sin-bound, we cannot get rid of sin. Only God can, the Creator can fix our problems. So that's the second reality the Lord wants us to face. That's how the salvation comes, the redemption. The Lord, our Heavenly Father, sent His Son, Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem us, to bring us into reality. So the spiritual reality has a lot to do with God's Word. With God's Word. You know, God, He is real. Only God is real. Because everything under the sun is vanity of vanities. And God's Word sent forever. So that's why the Lord brought us to His Word, to know Him through His Word. The problem with us before we know God, because we do not have His Word. We do not have opportunity to read His Word, understand His Word. There's nobody explain what His Word means, what salvation is. But thank the Lord, when we are born again, when we know the Lord, we start to read His Word, especially in the very beginning. We love the Lord's Word. The Lord's Word is like milk. Then He opened us up. Because the Lord's Word in the very beginning already shared with us that we are sinners. Our ancestors sinned. And we have a connection with them. And even we sinned, but we cannot take the responsibility. We cannot solve our sin problem. But the Lord Jesus took that. He solved all the problems. So, after then, and we have a new life. So that new life in us gives us the love to the Heavenly Father and the love of brothers and sisters. So for many years, I don't know how much time left. Okay, good, thanks. I know the storytelling will take hours. But I just want to share a few things I think I learned before the Lord. I think it's very natural to have a love for God. Have that new life, we want to really commit ourselves, consecrate our whole life to the Lord. That's the most natural thing to do. But the problem is that not only the sin problem, we know the sin problem, the Lord already solved the problem. He forgave all our sins. He gave us new life. When we baptize, we baptize into His death, burial, and resurrection life. But the problem is with the self-life. So what is self-life? Basically, the self-life is a self-centered life. The basic self-life is that we are still young in the Lord. We are still self-centered. Even we love the Lord, we want to give everything to the Lord. But our self-consciousness is much stronger than God consciousness. We do not understand a lot about the cross. You know, the disciples, they do not understand about the cross. They were afraid of cross. Peter was afraid. The same with us. So our brother was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in that chapter also said, when we are child, we think about child like a child. We talk about like a child. We act like a child. But when we are grown, we're different. So what is the spiritual reality? The spiritual reality is that when we are mature, when we are mature in the Lord, when we grow up, we have the reality. We know what to do. We know, you know, how to make decisions. But when we are a child, we cannot. So that's why the Lord wants us to deal with that self-life. So how to deal with that self-life? That self-centered, that carnal life. We know that in the Bible, the many places talking about that. First Corinthians, and like Job's life, Jacob's life. The Lord wants us to mature. The Bible has told us again and again and again how to deal with self-life. Because that self-life is a self-centered, poisonous life. It's pretty much like what Satan poisoned us with. Even we have a new life, but the self-life is so strong. So I have for a long time, for many years, I heard about this teaching, about the separating of spirit and soul. I was thinking how to separate in them. You know, the self-life is soul life. The God-centered life is a spiritual life. Now, they need to be separated. But I do not know how. But the Lord, through the circumstances, through our in surroundings, through brothers and sisters, through our families, through our job, many other things, He did that separation. Just like Job's life. Think about Job. He seems perfect. But God said, there is in reality, there's something not real in you. You are just like a beautiful flower. But what I'm looking for is a fruit. So the Lord has to deal with us, with that self-centered, that immature, childish life. The Lord wants us to be childlike, but not childish. So the Lord has to deal with us for many years. Many hard lessons. So, for many years, the Lord is dealing with us with that. It's like leading us through the wilderness experience. What the Bible recorded about the nation of Israel, how they experience, that's the same with us. Sometimes for many years, even like Moses, for many years. Why? Because there is a in reality. There's something not real. There's something God cannot wind, cannot use. God has to empty himself, empty Moses for many, many years. The problem is that we are so strong. We are so self-independent, self-centered. You know, we are the head. And so how the Lord has two heads, you know, he cannot use us. So first, he has to, through the cross, deal with us individually and corporately. So through that, thank the Lord, the Lord gradually led us to know that we cannot rely on ourselves. Like Moses, he cannot rely on himself. And like Abraham, he cannot rely on himself. If the Bible, there's so many so-called spiritual giants, they cannot rely on themselves. Paul cannot rely on himself. And how could we rely on ourselves? Because we are not the reality. In the Romans chapter 3, I think verse 4 said, probably we can read that. That is verse one of the central verse. In book Romans, chapter 3, verse 4, 3 and 4. Here it said, "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. So, verse 4 said, only God is true. In Chinese, God is true, and every man a liar. We in ourselves is a liar. We are living in a kind of disillusioned situation. So thank the Lord, that is a very painful experience. Because when you see that you cannot rely on yourself, you cannot stand on your own foot in a way. Another way to say it is that you just feel hopeless. That's how Jacob, when he was broken down, he just hugged God. He said, God, you bless me. I cannot let you go. For many, many times, the Lord really saw that I'm self not reliable. I cannot serve Him. I cannot serve brothers and sisters. I cannot do God's work. But thank the Lord, He has the reality for us. And He also let me see that not only myself need reality, the church needs reality. So what's the reality? The reality is the faith, love, and hope. Only the things come from God is the spiritual reality. The only the things that is come from revelation is a reality. That's how that the difference between Abel and Cain. Because Cain, he come to before God, it's basically himself. God said, you're a liar. You're just from the wrong source. You're representing yourself. You're representing from enemy, from the darkness, from the poison of the Satan. But Abel, he had the right source. So anything we need to enter into spirituality is from the revelation. We need to hear the small, still voice. We need to hear that the Holy Spirit speak to us. It's so important. In 1994, March 31st, that's the first time the Lord spoke to me when my father passed away. He said, buddy, your dead I have been taken care of. So immediately I realized that there is a spiritual world. Even my father passed away. He was only 53 years old. I cannot take care of him anymore. If he is still alive, I can help him. But if the Lord is God of dead and living, He can take care. How wonderful that is. There is a spiritual world, spiritual realm. When the Lord speaks to us, the things can be solved very wonderfully, right away. In 1998, I have received very bad news from my family. My brother sisters, my older sister and other brothers told me that brother had some problems. He became, it's like demon possessed, crazy. He was hitting everyone and do crazy things. So in February, I received this news. No one know how to solve the problem. So, but I know it's a spiritual problem. So we start to pray. We prayed every day.
I walk in with my wife just to pray. Lord, how to solve the problem? No, he is my brother.
Until one day in November, when I woke up, the Lord spoke to me in English.
He said, why are you still here?
Why are you still here? Because at that time, I just changed to a new job. I thought I do not have vacation. I do not have time. I have to work very hard for this new position. I cannot go. I cannot do. And my wife was afraid because my brother is higher, it's taller than him. He's a small lady and she will be very afraid. And the Lord said, why are you still here? And in the same day, the Lord let me realize that I can have 1 month's vacation. Because in December, in November now, there is a December, I still have two weeks. Then the next year I can borrow 2 weeks in the year beginning. So I can make even a month. I can go back. Then not only Lord let me see that, and also he gave me grace. And all the green light is open. I talked to my team leader, and she's a wonderful Christian. And also my manager, everything, that's fine. I bought a plane ticket the same day. The spirituality is that when we met the Lord, the things will happen. We have a spiritual experience with God. Without spiritual experience, we are all just in theory. What's the difference between Abraham and Lot? Because Abraham had a spiritual encounter, has a first-hand experience with God, and Lot does not have. So what's the difference between Paul when he encountered the Lord and Saul when he did not? He knew a lot about Bible, but he was persecuting Lord Jesus. It's because he himself personally encountered Lord Jesus Christ. We need the same encounter, and the Lord's word does not change. The Lord is not partial. He needs to meet us. He wants to meet us today. He wants to meet us. These people are living. Not those people already dead, or not those people already will come in the future. He wants to use us who are here for his testimony. Those words need to apply. So the spirituality that when God's word applies in our life and really bear fruit, make it very practical, then the reality comes. Only when the God's words are tested and really made practical in our lives, then the spiritual reality will manifest. There was one time I was just before the Lord. The Lord not only speak to us in still small voice, he speaks to us in different ways. Many times the Lord spoke to us through a song, especially in the morning. So there was one time I felt the Lord is calling me to serve him full time. In the very beginning, I saw the Lord serve me full time. But in 2003, July 24th, that's the last day I worked at IBM. As I prayed before the Lord let me realize that's a full-time service. I was 40 years old at that time. I thought about Moses. When he started to serve the Lord, he was 80 years old, but I cannot live that long. So I thought 40 is a good time to serve the Lord. Otherwise, I become too old, even cannot memorize things. Even today, I forget so many brothers and sisters' names, I just forget, cannot remember. You know,
What an embarrassment when you see this brother or sister so familiar, you cannot call even their name. So we need to take the opportunity and serve the Lord. I say, okay, now it's time. 7:24, just 7 days and 24 hours, serving the Lord, full time. Then the Lord used 5 verses to just through our son, even through my older daughter, spoke to me. The first verse, he said, it's, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, these are the verses the Lord gave to us. But we all know, but how to apply? If the Lord is Lord, He will know exactly what's the best for us. He will not speak something that will not be good for us, not beneficial for us. If He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then everything else will be added unto you." So what should we seek? What should we seek first? What's our priority? So I think that's the greater blessing from there. But if we do not do that, then we can never enter spiritual reality. Many verses like that. The second verse is the same, similar. The Lord said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word out of mouth of God." You know, that's how that word actually came from the wilderness experience, Deuteronomy. That the Lord tests them. You walk in the wilderness. You do not sow or reap or do nothing. But the Lord feed them for 40 years for probably 2 million people. And it's a big crowd. This time I came... through Los Angeles to this area, and I go through lots of wilderness, desert. You cannot find any life there. You cannot reap or you cannot sow or reap or do anything there. But the God, He's able to do. So I think the time is very close now, but I want to add a little bit. But I was thinking about serving the Lord full time. Every one of us, also the Lord's calling is full time service. Everyone, every single one, really. If everyone just served the Lord full time, right here, the Lord's house is so rich, right? Everyone start to work together. That's what the Lord wants. We have a misunderstanding about full-time service. Many people think about full-time service is that you do not have a job, you do not do other work, you're not a doctor or teacher or computer scientist or anything. Then you just only read Bible and pray. Then you're full-time service. No. The Lord said, every one of them, whatever you do, you are a full-time servant. Thank the Lord. I was mistaken. I thought I have a special calling. I thought I have a special experience. So I'm the one serve the Lord. The Lord said, no. He said, every one of us, your 10 fingers, every finger is special. Everyone, the Lord knows our names. All the 12 sons of Jacob, the Lord loved them, have a special portion for them. We cannot lose our inheritance. We cannot lose our birthright. The Lord called all of us a full-time servant. That's a great honor too. I was not clear for many years until 2012. I went back to China. I was thinking about this full-time service. The Lord just let my spirit see everyone is a
full-time servant.
And whatever you do, and wherever you be, you are serving the Lord. You know, every member of the body, you know, your finger, your feet, everything, are serving your body full-time. Think about it. If one part does not serve my body, then this body is paralyzed, cannot function normally. The Lord wants His house be full and full functioning members. A little bit more. Then I want to really have a heart to serve the Lord. How to serve the Lord? For many years I do not have the vision. Brother, sister, without vision, the people just perish. Without vision, you do not have a plan. You do not know how to serve the Lord, even you want to. In 2003, I saw that the Lord calling me to serve Him full time. But until 2009, 6 years later, April 11, it's almost close to April Fool's Day, I received a vision from the Lord. The Lord gave me the vision to serve Him through a song. It's a hymn, the hymnary here, 570, Nothing Between. Just two words in English, Chinese, four words. 没有间隔, nothing between. The Lord said, you want to serve me? I want you to have nothing between relationship with me and you. If we have something between the Lord and us, everything we do, the source is wrong. It will be burned. It's just wood, hay, or stubble. It's all man's glory, work, and man's nature. It will be burned. It's not worth much. It's kind of big, but no glory either. It will be burned. Then when we see the Lord, we'll start to cry. But if we have nothing between relationship with the Lord, every small thing, a little bit thing we do, the Lord will count forever. But the Lord said, the service does not stop there. The service also extends to horizontal relationship, not only vertical relationship, horizontal relationship. You need to have a nothing between relationship with brothers and sisters too. If we have something between brothers and sisters, we cannot serve. We will go our own ways sooner or later. Right? But if we have a brotherly love each other relationship, we really like a family, we really like a body, you cannot separate a body. So, dear brothers and sisters, when it's a great pain to separate a body because we have nothing between relationship with each other. But that relationship is from God, is from divine relationship, but expressed among us. We cannot see the unseen God without serving the seen brothers and sisters. You say you serve the Lord, but how could it be expressed? I think the Lord wants us to enter spiritual reality. The Lord wants to bless us. The Lord wants us to have a nothing between relationship with Him and with each other. The Lord wants us to hear His small still voice and enter that and know what the church is lacking. If we see something divinely, we know that something lacking, I don't feel satisfied. And probably you are the one to fill that gap. You say, Lord, change the situation. Pray to change. Then the reality will start with you. Many times we have so much complaints, but the Lord does not want us to complain. The Lord wants us to enter the spiritual reality through small things, individually, then greater through our family, and then there will be a prodigal love. There will be Philadelphia Church. May the Lord have something here in Kansas City. The Lord said, I know you. I know your name. I put you here. I want to call you to be my full-time servant. I want you really have action. Real bear fruit. The Bible is about action. But this action, the origin of the action, is not from me. It's not from us. It's from God. But if God already gives us vision, we do not do it. Then we can never enter the spiritual reality. The spiritual reality is God Himself. The spiritual reality is that unshakable kingdom. This world is not our home. It will be burned. It will be taken away. It's very soon. Our Lord is coming very soon. So the Lord calling us to enter into spirituality. And anything is not real. You don't feel satisfied. Very likely, the Lord does not feel comfortable either. We need to put our feet down to be very, very practical. Our Lord is very practical. He provides in everything. So we can seek the Lord to enter into that practice. Step by step, we'll become more and more mature. And we'll know what spirituality is. It's not follow a person. It's not going to conferences. It's, Lord, I'm here. I want to meet you. Okay. Thank the Lord. Let's have some prayers. Lord, how much we thank you, we praise you. Lord, what we can share is so limited. But Lord, Holy Spirit is not limited. Lord, may you work among us, especially, Lord, in Kansas City. Here, our brothers and sisters have a seeking heart, and they have a heart to serve you, preach gospel. Lord, you really meet their needs. You really, oh Lord, meet them in a very special and direct way, so that they will enter spiritual reality. They will not regret. They will say, this is my God, and I will serve him. Lord, we have so little bit time to serve you. Show your great mercy. We praise you. Lord, take these very limited words and purify it and make it real in our lives. We praise you. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.